Right, right. Because I know I had been trying to encourage guys just to keep the dues up, you know, because of, for no more than that little death benefit that we have.
Well, you have no voice.
The voice. So I used to go to. I went to quite a few meetings.
I don't mean necessarily have a voice, but I mean if you don't belong.
Oh, right. If you don't belong, because I was trying to say in terms of, I remember several of the meetings because I used to go down with Doc and them, mm-hmm. and a couple of times, it would be a matter of two or three votes that would, you know, like at the meeting they would vote on doing something. And two or three votes would have made it go the other way. And I kept saying, if we could have just gotten enough black guys to go to the meetings where we would have a block, you know, you'd have maybe, if we could have 8 or 10 guys. So that's, you know, a little more persuasiveness one way or the other. Because I had written an article in that little brochure that they put out from BMOP. And it was weird because you read the first part, and then blap, it stopped. And the next part was the meat of what I was trying to say, you know. And but you know, George and Rubin and whoever was putting this thing together, rather than put another piece of paper with it to finish the article, they just cut it off. And I said, you know. But I see, I've had a different kind of experience. And it's hard. I mean, I can understand, you know, the frustration of a lot of the guys because they just didn't participate. And I know when we had the delegate trying to get a black delegate, you know, to represent the black guys, and Tom Evans, and he really doesn't even, he doesn't know that much, you know, and. I mean, I just felt there should have been someone that was not participating and someone that really had a voice to tell what it really is, you know, what's really going on. But we have, with this new president now, there may be some changes of things, at least some discussion, because already she's not digging up old stuff, but she's bringing some stuff to the forefront that they need be made aware of, because Osgood just kept everything from the membership, you know, that whole thing, because the merge agreement, and we should have had two delegates to the convention all along, but they took that away from us, and then before they destroyed all our records, see. So we're kind of lost in terms of what, you know, what they can offer us. Did you, okay, you didn't hold any, you were never on the board or house committee or none of those kind of things at the union, huh? You just paid your dues, huh?
I just paid my dues, and I'm not surprised, because, I've always been my own person.
Right.
It's just like, I'm your friend.
Yeah.
I'll be your friend as long as you're right. You see, now if you start getting, I'm going to tell
out
you,
line.
This is far as I go.
Yeah.
If you cease to be my friend because of that, then that's too bad.
Did you get many MPTs, you know, like transcriptions from 471?
I got
quite a few of them too. Yeah. See, our thing was a little different than the way it is down here, because now they're coming up with a thing about matching funds, and they want even to try to find sponsors. You know, first of all, I can understand, because that fund is kind of drying up. You know, although there is a lot of money, because it's from recordings and all that other kind of monies going into the kitty.
It's not a bottomless.
No, it's not, you know. And we had a couple of years ago, Ron Bickle. You know Ron Bickle,
yeah.
Keyboard player? And he scouted around. I think he had 28 schools that he solicited and talked to and so forth, and came up with a package of going into the schools to the quartet, four men. And I was lucky enough to do, I think I did 17 or 19 of them with him. But he hustled around and got them, you know, got them himself. And but I know most of the ones that I would get from 471 were like to the hospitals. I went up to Mayview a couple of times and the VA and, you know, things like that, or some other place we'd go to, like one of the old folks' homes, something like that, you know. But do you know anything about those WPA bands? When you were a kid, never heard of those.
I heard of them.
But you didn't have any experience with them. Is that, you know Curtis Young?
Yeah.
Okay, because he was, telling us about that. Because these are a question, just a format that this girl had done up for us of questions, and that happened to be one of them. Let's see, what else? What would you advise young musicians? What would you try to tell them to do, or what kind of advice would you give to them? Something that they should hang on to.
Seen too many musicians who got a break and weren't prepared.
Mm-hmm.
Weren't ready. So that's the best advice I can give to not only musicians, but any young person in any field.
Right.
And prepare yourself. Because your friends will tell you how good you are. The world will let you know.
Yeah. Where you at?
That's right.
Did you ever did you play many shows when you were coming through?
Yeah, I played with the what was it? Bronze Mannequins.
Not the Bronze Skin Models.
No, this
is another one. Bronze Mannequins. Who hit that one?
I don't know.
Larry Steele.
No, it wasn't Larry Steele. I remember who was on it. They had a bunch of those silly people on.
Yeah.
Big Wave Bell.
Yeah.
Blues singer. They had two blues singers. Lula Chapman. He had a sister named Christine Chapman. Had a hit record as well.
Yeah.
Jackie Maple.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, because he wasn't a big deal.
Comedian and a dancer. Yeah, because that's what my carnival troupe was, because I was with Bronskin Models, William C. Miller and the Bronskin Models.
Yeah.
And we had, four or five chorus girls and a tap dance couple. There was husband and wife, Vicky and... I forget his wife's name, and then we had a comedian, and I played the band that I was with. There was a tenor player, an older guy that was from New Orleans, but he lived in Philly for quite a number of years, and he played New Orleans, but he played hip. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could see the influence of both styles in it. I mean, and it was fun. You know, I mean, it was a good experience.
Yeah, I forgot all about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, okay.
And I was playing the band I was in. The leader was when I was in the service. I was in. I took my advanced training in mm-hmm. Louisiana,
okay.
Camp Cleveland, and they had a one of these big old what do you call these big mansions?
Right.
Sitting back there with the Spanish moss dripping.
Right,
on.
Right.
Well, that's
right.
Where we had to go for entertainment. We had to take a special bus
back in there,
and the Sweethearts and Rhythm was playing.
Right. Right.
And I. This girl named Aurora Wilson played baritone, and then and after I got out of the service, she was in the band. She hired me.
Okay.
I ran into her again.
Right. What's the name with that band from here? The bass, Lil. I can't think of her last name because she married Elmer Wilson, but she's a bass player from Pittsburgh. Yeah, because she was supposed to have been part of the Sweethearts of Rhythm. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
That was a tenor player named Bagson.
Yeah. Dickerson? Dixon? Okay.
Burnside.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Burns.
Okay. Because I got a picture in it somewhere.
Well, that's the band I was in with the show.
With the show, right.
Sure. Pretty good girl. Mm-hmm. She never did, she was a good business.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She never did solo.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
She was a good leader.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Now here's a good one. What do you think we, as black musicians, need to do to further our cause and to build a better relationship amongst ourselves, amongst our peers? What do you think we need to do? Since we don't have the social at a club and so forth that we had when we had our union.
I was getting ready to say, we need to see each other periodically.
Yeah.
We have some kind of, not a tight format.
Yeah,
but just
hook up. Yeah.
We should see each other.
Right.
The only time we see each other is the funeral home.
Right, right. It's a death. Yeah.
It was like when I went over to pay my respects to Bass,
mm-hmm.
I saw a fellow that I hadn't seen.
Right. Yeah.
And sure, I was glad to see him. Mm-hmm. See, that's not
the circumstances.
That's
yeah.
Not right.
Well, that's part of what. See, the our ultimate goal, or one of our ultimate goals, is to kind of get some kind of fellowship. I don't know whether we're going to come up with a membership thing, or how we're going to do it. But we do have to reconnect,
mm-hmm.
you know, because granted, the merge took our club away from us,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't have to let it be that way. We could have still, you know, even when we were going down to Flamingo with BMOP, we could have still some kind of way managed to find some place where we could have socially, you know, reconnected.
Yes, yeah.
Now, a thing that is in the works now. If we can get beyond our funny way of treating one another. Now, Al Dow is taking over Dizzy's.
Mm.
That's a spot down in Lawrenceville. I mean, in the Strip district.
Strip, yeah.
Now, his place on Southside was a little small because I had it in mind about trying to get the guys. If we can get him, maybe we can get maybe an early Sunday or whatever off period of time that we can meet and just, you know, kind of reconnect. But, we'd like to do that. I don't know whether it's too late to think in terms of hooking up, you know, like that or not. You know, there's a lot of young guys I think our ideals and things that we are about, you know, we have to find a way to get them to understand what it is that we're trying to pass off to them, you know, and begin to bring them into the fold, you know, because that's the future of the music business, you know.
We have to get them to understand that knowledge goes one way, down to
It does.
The other floor.
Yeah, I know.
So it's to your advantage. Now, if you want to continue to wallow in the slop that you're hearing, or whatever they're throwing your way to get your money, well, then you continue to do that. We're going to have to be more giving, and those of us, we don't have a lot.
I know.
But we have to realize that some people don't have anything. And none of us
That's right.
So if, just speaking for myself, if it comes down to a dues thing, if we see one of ours who would like to and can't, then it's up to some of us to make a sacrifice and make it possible. Because this time next year,
it might be you.
It might be. So, and that little money, you can't take it with you. You're going to leave it here.
When you were playing back to Harry Nash and the Strictly Legion, did you go farther down the valley? Did you ever Beaver Falls and Rochester down that way and play at the East Liverpool?
I can't remember. Yeah, we worked East Liverpool. Occasionally, there was a fella down there that we used to love to play with, Beaver Falls. And I used to love to play with him.
General McClendon.
McClendon.
Yes,
the guitar player?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, he died too.
I heard
him. Yeah.
I used to love to play.
Oh, man.
And whenever Nash could
get
fry enough money, we would always add him to the group.
He could play.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
Now, he was, in those days, he never went straight too far. Now, he had a lot of offers, but he would take care of his money.
Yeah.
He would take care of his money.
Remember Crawford?
Ray Crawford?
Yeah.
Now, there were a lot of musicians that, I'm not trying to take anything away from guys who make it big, but like I try to tell, the girl we raised, her kids call us, Granny and Grandpa, even though we're not really.
Right.
But I try to tell them that the people that make all the money and get all the fame aren't necessarily
the
best. Because I have known, of all the piano players I've heard in my life, and that includes Tatum, or anybody, there's a guy named Malone from Indiana. And he and his mother. He would come out and play enough to make a little money. Then he'd go back home. Now, if you go to his house, he'd sit down and play the organ.
All night long,
but he was not born in with it. I don't know whatever happened to him. But he said, Taylor thinks he's something because he can do this.
Yeah.
And he's sitting down there and do it all day long. He said, but that doesn't, he said, that's, he said, that's just a run. He said, that's just, he used to say, school to turn out technicians every day, they can do that. He said, but where is the spirit? Where is the heart?
Because I heard a guy one night on DUQ, and the same thing. I heard a guy, and it was, I mean, it was our Tatum. I mean, you know, everything, but then there was something else, mm-hmm. you know. And I forget who it was. But, you know, they announced the recording and said, this is so-and-so and so-and-so. But it was like, I mean, because you would think that this is the end of it, you know, and after that, ain't no more. But
I worked at a place in Indianapolis, a hotel. Back then, they had a hotel. Mm-hmm. Like, they were by the canal, on Indiana. Mm-hmm. We were the house band. All five of us from different regions of the mm-hmm. country. How we got together, mm-hmm. I don't know. His big expensive suite was James Park, he called it. All over in the club one afternoon, trying to work on something. Mm-hmm. And I heard somebody say, I believe I can help you with that. I turned around and looked, it wasn't that cold.
Mm-hmm.
And he hadn't reached near the fame mm-hmm. yet. Now he had a name
mm-hmm.
with us.
You know. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason I bring him up is because he didn't do it on record.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I have a record, old mm-hmm. record of his, he could do all that Tatum could do,
mm-hmm.
but he played more and understated
mm-hmm.
and tasteful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was about.
Yeah.
It wasn't about him trying to show off
yeah.
his technical ability.
Yeah.
He could be warm.
Mm-hmm. 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 Emotions.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Did you run into many Pittsburgh musicians in your trap? You know, like when you were out there, did many guys from Pittsburgh come through that you would run into and?
Jimmy Swan,
yeah, because he's from right here with him.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who was he with? Do you recall the band at that time? Colax or one of them?
I don't know.
Snooker?
We were in the same band one time. He had problems.
Mm-hmm.
He was married now.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
youngster.
Mm-hmm.
A baby was a year old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
His wife was going after him.
Mm-hmm. I know.
I'm out there. I'm single.
Yeah.
Well, like, see out there. Grover. I've run across, you know, the established guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, but
mm-hmm.
the guys who were my age,
yeah.
you know, I didn't see.
Yeah, not too many guys.
Yeah.
Not too many.
But everybody was, I knew, was trying to run towards New York City.
Right.
And I was staying away from them
yeah.
because I knew.
You was working?
No, I knew. I was in service with too many fellows in New York City who told me.
Mm-hmm.
How things were there.
Yeah, what you mean, deal
they
with.
Had people waiting tables up there who
right.
who
right.
had so much talent.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
That's right.
Because I remember a story they was telling me about rehearsal bands and you know, don't be late because there's a guy sitting in the back that's going to come up there and he's going to take that job away from you.
Mm-hmm.
But the funny thing that happened, when I first... Sam Hurt took me with on that big show, that Super Attractions, you know, where Fats Domino and all of them, Siri Moss. So the first time I went up, I went with Syl Austin, tenor player, and Huckabuck, Paul Williams, was the musical director of the show. And then the trumpet player, both these guys were from New York, Frank Robinson, and... I who later went with Duke Ellington, the center tenor player. But
wasn't Willie Cook?
No. This was he's from Jamaica. I can't think of his name. Roy Burrows. But naturally, you know, this is, you know, my New York and so forth. So I grabbed the third book, and I'm playing. And a couple of days later on, Frank said, here, play this. And a couple of days later on, here, play, because they didn't have a sound. You know, and Roy was, you know, he could play all kind of stuff, but they just didn't, they didn't have that, that sound and that projecting power.
Yeah.
Jim Swann taught me that, that little Paris, you know, because he said, you know, find you a spot in the back. He said, and I've always played that way, you know, because I can't play on a short-walled cycle. I'm all messed up on a short-walled place. But give me some depth. So by the, I think the second weekend of that show, I had all the first parts, you know. And but I was still, you know, I said, this is New York, and I know there's guys around here that can play me under the table, you know. But, you know, sometimes faith and the good Lord plays into the picture, you know, and allows you to do these things, you know. Because then when I got with Lloyd, you know, that's what it was. He had a couple of trumpet players, but they just didn't have the basics. Mm-hmm. They didn't have a sound or the stamina, you know. And then that's what carried me through, you know. But, you know, when you're working, you're naturally you're strong, you know. But it's like that statement that you made earlier off about telling kids to prepare themselves. And that's the most important thing.
It is.
You know, because if we've got youngsters that come along and they just don't have the fundamentals, you know, they're not properly prepared.
That's right.
You know, and you put them in a situation and they go to pieces because they just don't know, they can't handle it.
That's right.
And another thing that I found is a varied background. You got to play all styles and all types and all kinds of music, you know, and don't lock yourself into one thing, you know, because this other thing is going to contribute if you allow it.
Oh yeah.
You know, if you allow it, you can get something from every style.
Yeah,
of music.
You can learn something from
anything,
every category.
Yes.
You just don't have to. Once you get everything you can from that.
You walk away from it.
Oh, certainly. Well, I went through a period where I worked, I guess, for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
I worked with a poker group.
Sure.
And, you know,
if
you play a rec, poker swing.
I know.
People don't realize poker's...
Sure, yeah.
Poker's are on fire.
Yeah.
If
the rhythm, I think the most important thing about music is the rhythm. If you can get the rhythm locked in and if they do it right, I mean, like you're saying, sure, it swings in that funny style, but it swings.
Sure it does.
Sure.
Yeah.
But it has to be synchronized, it has to be together, you know, it has to be approached that way.
And then you have to do more than just listen superficially.
Right.
It's just like listening to any kind of music. You go to the opera. You just sit there and
listen to the top lines. That's what this sounds
like. And just, if you determine you're just going to hear noise, that's what you hear. But if you sit there and give it a chance and absorb it and go along with the artist, the artist will take you for an adventure.
Nice ride.
Yeah,
we still got, no, we still are. That's good. You say you played with Leroy and Calvin Kenyon for a while.
Yeah.
How about Thaddeus Birch? You do much with him?
I knew him, but I
didn't. Yeah, you didn't play with him. When you, do you remember Melendez? He was a secretary. Well, maybe, who were the officers when you joined? You say Stoney was president.
Stoney was president. Leroy was the secretary.
Okay, that's before Ruby took over. Mm-hmm. Who's Jim Baldwin's vice president?
Jim Baldwin.
Okay. Well, Melendez had been the secretary before that. Melendez was in like the 30s and into the early 40s.
Well, I had heard the name.
Yeah.
And he wasn't spoken of very highly.
I know.
That's the only thing I can remember.
Yeah,
so not knowing him, I didn't take any sides.
Yeah.
But I know they didn't speak very highly of him.
Well, what I gather, it was a fact that, he was a postal worker, and that was his main interest. And you know, guys that have to wait until he got off from work and go to his house, you know, to take care of music business, and it was kind of an inconvenience, you know. And I heard some stories like that. But I remember him when I first joined, because I'm in 49, he was there. You know, I remember him at some meetings. He was one of the little Mexican, Spanish-looking guys, light-skinned with a mustache.
Yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah.
You know,
well, even after he left, I didn't get in the middle, mm-hmm. but I had to get out before the fireworks started. Mm-hmm. Whatever happened to the money out of that building fund they had out of that?
I don't know. I heard some, you know, I heard something, and I don't know, because I heard
that. Duport would tell me one thing, and he was getting
hot
out
about,
of the car.
You mean from East Liberty?
No.
Or down the old club?
Yeah, down the old club.
Right. I don't know, because, I don't know all of the...
Duport was holding his feet to the fire.
Yeah.
And,
well, we had the same situation in East Liberty where they claim somebody broke in, but when they break in, if you throw a brick this way, don't the glass fall on the inside of the window?
It usually does.
But the glass was all on the outside.
It goes outside.
Right. So that was one of the stories there. So, I mean, it seems like we we don't learn, do we? But I had heard some earlier stories about the club, like you're talking, that building fund thing, and the there was some problems that came up, and I think Brown and Stoney, you know,
the regular crew.
That group, you know.
I know the last discussion I heard.
To get it cleared up.
Get it cleared up. But I have a hunch that it doesn't matter what the fees for.
Yeah, right.
Nothing could be proved. So.
Yeah. But you know, but even with that funny thing going on, but that still was a happy time for us.
Oh, sure.
It was a good period of time for us, you know. I mean, we respected one another. To me, it would, to be able to join the union, to be able to join 471, I mean, that was almost like giving me 6 steps up life's ladder,
mm-hmm.
because I felt like I was somebody when I was allowed to join that union,
mm-hmm.
you know, because, I mean, the names and you're in that association with these
That's
people
right.
and you go to the meetings, you know, and these people are there. I mean, it's quite a different thing now, where to join the union is almost like a bad word. You know, guys don't want to hear nothing about union, you know, and unfortunately, you know, as things evolved, it has put a bad taste in a lot of the black guys. You know, when you say union, I mean, they immediately go negative, I mean, because they think of the merge and all that other stuff. But I just, you know, I remember back in them early days, man, to me, that was it, you know.
You know, it was more than just a union.
Yeah.
Because I can never remember going in there where I didn't feel as though I was rich.
Right.
not bitching for having gone
right,
in there.
Right.
I would go in there, I would either learn something about music or I'd learn something about life.
Right, because that's it. Well, I mean, you get, let's face it. I mean, I don't want to say it like it's going to sound, but I don't believe that you can get any more, I don't think you can learn any more about life from any other occupation or work thing or association of that. I mean, musicians and entertainers, that's a special breed of person, you know, and I mean, I don't know of any better people. I mean, I don't want to associate with any other people. You know.
For what you have to go through to discipline.
Right.
You have to certainly have to be a psychologist.
Yeah.
Because there are different types that you deal with.
Personalities.
That's right.
Yeah.
You deal with artists, you deal with business people, you deal with people in various states of consciousness.
Right.
You just learn how to evaluate
And cope.
And cope.
Because I know, I remember my one of the years, well, the year with the big show, I was actually with the Coasters. And I remember part of a conversation that came up, and they were talking about entertainers and musicians. And this was how it came out. You know, I mean, we are a special breed of, we're gifted, first of all. God did us a favor, you know. And if you can acknowledge the fact that it's a God-given talent, you know, and I mean, because other people, I mean, you know, they're skilled and they're way up the ladder in what they do, but you can't beat musicians and entertainers.
Mm-hmm. And I have never had to wonder whether there is a God or not.
No.
Because
he's proven it to you.
I used to sit and look at my fingers and wonder how.
Mm-hmm.
Say I would get to the third bar. Now I don't know what I'm going to play myself.
Mm-hmm.
Get there,
you go somewhere else.
I'm going to play.
Right. Because that's what it is. It's,
if you have to ask yourself,
how,
is there anything else?
Yeah, how and why?
You know there's things that we can't explain.
Yeah. I remember the first year I came back off of the carnival, because I had gone out, I think I was making $75 a week, you know, sort of Miller and Bronson models and that kind of thing. And so I, you know, you got time. So I'd help them put up the tent, help them take it down. Mm-hmm. And I'd do a little bit of driving, you know, just picking up some extra cash. So I came back, and my grandfather was a deacon in the church. And my grandmother was, you know, that first row sister.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of my music, they didn't want to hear nothing about me, you know, jazz and all that kind of stuff. So I never offered up any kind of conversation. But this one particular day, I was sitting on the front porch and with my grandfather, and we were talking, and he asked me, you know, about, you know, what was I doing and so forth, and I told him that, you know, about the carnival, and he clicked. He ran away from home as a youngster with a carnival. And I mean, it seems like that brought us together. And he made the comment to me, you know, about, you know, it's a God-given talent, and to the best of your ability, you know, use it to the best of your ability. He never stressed play church music, because I refused. I wouldn't play in church because of my grandfather, because of their feelings and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't want to, you know, I just said, well, because I, like, you know, in church programs and things that they would have, and I never participated because I didn't want to offend them. And I never mentioned anything about jazz. They never heard me play.
Mm-hmm.
My grandparents never heard me play. My dad never heard me play because he reformed and became a trustee in the church in the mid-60s, and by that time I'm playing in the clubs and things, so he never got to hear me play. But I've always regarded that statement from my grandfather in terms of, because it ain't about how good you can play. That's a God-given talent. He's enabling you to do that. You know, and a lot of guys don't look at it that way. They're so busy egoed and that other kind of thing. But it's, I wouldn't have it any other way. Sure, there's some hardships, there's some things that have happened through life, but if given a chance, I would still travel the same way again.
I would do the same.
Because it's I've been very fortunate. I know that I've had the opportunity to be in some places that ain't no way in the world I could have been there other than through the entertainment world.
I know that I've been places, and I mean many places, that would have cost me a fortune. Otherwise. I know it made me a lot wiser. I wouldn't give anything for the experiences I've had. Even the, I haven't really had any really bad experiences.
And it ain't too bad. It ain't too bad.
But even those make you stronger, wiser.
People that you meet
all kinds.
Do you do any writing at all?
Not anymore. I would do it when I was. It would have to be when I got that feel. I couldn't do it just because
Some
of it was just painful.
It
would be when I got inspired.
Did you write things for with Harry and him, the groups that you were with?
Some
of that stuff,
But like I said, it would be something, say if I was with, Calvin King, and I used to, I would say, Calvin, I'm going to write something. Let's do this, let's do that. And he would look at it. He'd try it. Usually, it worked out. We knew each other.
Right. Yeah, because you write within the confines of the people.
But all I did like to, small groups.
Like trios or a couple of horns?
Trios, one horn.
Yeah, okay, quartets, yeah.
That was usually my setting. I love trios, especially with guitar.
Right.
I always got along well with guitarists and bass players.
Well, would you find some guitar players play more in keeping with your chords than some guitar players would, whether it be a clash? You find some guitar players you have somewhat of a problem working with?
Oh, there it is, always, until you together a while.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Shakedown.
Okay. Meeting of the minds, yeah.
That's why your ego can't be involved.
Then you gotta rehearse.
If you get one that wants to rehearse and one that doesn't, or one has a overblown ego and has to be right all the time, then you don't have anything for it. Calvin, same thing with Merle. They were willing to play anytime. But most musicians during that period, it looked like we just were 24 hours
It was. It was your life. In those days, it was.
You got up in the morning.
Right.
And
you go on your mind, and you walk up the street, and see somebody, you know, you start talking to you.
Yeah, it's because it's a little different. I mean, granted, the dollar amount, I mean, you didn't get as much, you know, as many dollars for your services, but you could do a lot more with the dollar amount that you made.
That's right.
So you were more devoted to the music. But now it's a case where, you know, the money is restricted, so the guys, you know, and their other interests and things kind of overshadow, you know, and they lose sight of what this is all about, you know.
Suffering.
Yeah,
you can tell.
Yeah, you can feel it. You can feel it. Because I know, I see, luckily for me, I have all the time in the world, and I practice a lot. I play a lot. I play out a lot. And you have to. As a brass player, you have to.
Mm-hmm.
So when I go on a job, you know, I'm ready to play. And other guys come out there, and you know, you can hear, it's just like, you can tell when the fingers are sluggish, oh, he ain't touched it since last Friday, you know, or he just opened the box up tonight from the last gig, you know. So, but I do, and then I'm involved in a lot of rehearsal bands and different, because I'm in five bands now, you know, and that's, you know, and I need that because, like I said, as a brat, but I'm lucky. I mean, maybe I'm just a representative or a token or just a symbol, but at least I know if I'm there, there's a black person there. Because
mm-hmm.
I remember early off when my experience with Joe Marone, I had something came up and I had to be off circus, playing a circus one time, and I had to be off. I told Joe I wouldn't be able to make such and such a night, and he says, oh, don't worry, I'll get, I said, no, let me send, you know, and I sent